Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Welcome to the Weekly Conversation. I'm your host, Kyle. This week on The Conversation, we're going to go over the VP debate. Oh, that was hilarious. Wow. Tim Kaine interrupted Mike Pence 70 times in 90 minutes? Well, it's a discussion, so I can interrupt you even though you haven't finished your sentence or what you're thinking or trying to say. Who cares? I'm just going to interrupt you because I'm an asshole. Also, there's a funny video going around where a guy had a BBC America mic and he was saying that Hillary Clinton dropped out of the race. The responses were, oh, it's great. Also, the Hillary Clinton server was supposedly hacked. They say that what's there is not real and all this stuff. I'll get into that. Also, this episode is done in memory of Robert Gogo Jr. He is from Pennsylvania, Pleasant Hills, and was killed. And what happened? I will get into that. Also, Eastern Carolina Marching Pirates University Band. Many of the members kneeled and didn't play during the Star Spangled Banner National Anthem before a weekend matchup with the University of Central Florida. The band director is basically like, yeah, we'll let this go this time, but next time, hey, there won't be a next time. There's going to be severe discipline. I'll get into that. And also, what's going on with Monday Night Football? That and much, much more. So, also, there's a kid that has come out and says that Bill's his father, Bill Clinton, and all he wants is to know his dad. Will that happen? Is it real? I'll get into that and so much more. So welcome to the conversation that you're a part of. 2 Thessalonians 3:5. May the Lord lead your hearts into a full understanding and expression of the love of God and patience, endurance that comes with it. Think about that as you're going through your day to day. And welcome to a conversation that I hope you feel a part of, because you are. I want to get into this really, really quickly, and our thoughts and prayers mainly also are going out to those as the toll rises from Hurricane Matthew in Haiti. It's up to now 260 at least that are confirmed dead via the hurricanes in Haiti, and basically when that goes on, folks, you need to kind of get out, you know. If they say evacuate, you should evacuate, and they did, I think, as best they can. I mean, it's hard to evacuate from an area that's completely surrounded by water. But our thoughts and prayers go out with all those affected by Hurricane Matthew. And I guess they're actually issuing warnings to Florida, to on the East Coast, to be prepared, because they could have some damage from the fallout of that. So our thoughts and prayers are with them, folks. And I want to get into something really quick that kind of sums up why I do what I do. And it was a post that was put to me on Facebook, and it says this: imagine, if you will, an entire country so ignorant that the people willfully give billions of dollars in order to elect rich criminals to rule over their lives and steal their money, but believe they are free. Think about that and put that in your pipe and smoke it, because that's kind of how it is. You know, that's where we're at, folks. And this VP debate, I didn't get much out of it because Tim Kaine interrupted every 5 seconds. Well, you have a 90-minute debate and you interrupted 70 times. That says a lot. Well, this was a discussion, so that means I can say whatever I want, whenever I want, and interrupt you. And you know, and of course, they you know, they tried to go after Trump because he's anti-Mexican. And what, are we just going to take and put a blanket all over the Mexicans? Okay, no, Trump says there's great Mexicans, just like there's great illegals. You know, what did Bill Clinton say? That's the thing that Mike Pence should have done. He should have came back and said, well, I'm going to quote Bill Clinton by saying, we are a nation of immigrants, but we are also a nation of laws. Because that's what Bill Clinton said. We need to protect our border. I have no problem with legal immigrants. I have a problem with illegal immigrants. I have a problem with Syrian refugees getting better accommodations than some homeless people. We can't help our homeless Americans, but we're going to give Syrian refugees places to live. If that doesn't make you sick, I don't know what does. Let's help foreigners before our own people. There are vets that are homeless, but you're going to have a Syrian refugee living in the house? I mean, it's clearly Mike Pence won the debate, but it's hard to get anything out of it when all they're doing is trying to put each other down and talk over each other. And how can I smear the other candidate? Let me see. We as Americans want to know issues. I mean, we don't want to have two children playing. You know, that's what it felt like. I mean, Mike Pence was very mature, but at some point he had to kind of, you know, come on. I gotta kind of be a little immature and kind of just say, screw this. I'm going to say what I'm going to say, and I'm going to interrupt you because you keep interrupting me. He had no choice. Almost like, well, I guess I just got to speak up and interrupt him if I want to be able to say anything. I mean, for people that really want to try to find out substantive issues, what these people really support, I'll tell you what they really support. I'll tell you right now. Tim Kaine basically says that, where is this? This is a quote from him. I am proud of infringing on your Second Amendment rights. If you support gun rights at all, you can't be a Democrat. You can't support Hillary Clinton. Because Hillary Clinton's gone on the record saying that, well, every amendment, including the Second Amendment, any constitutional right is subject to responsible regulations. That makes me want to vomit. Okay, you have freedom, but we're going to control your freedom. Really? You're either free or you're not. There is no, you have a choice. Security or liberty. You don't get both. So many people want to sit there, well, I'm willing to give up some of my freedom to have security. No. I want to pack heat. I want to see you go to like a part of Chicago, like a bad part of Chicago or Compton or whatever, and have a convenience store where the guy has some AK-47s and shotguns, and I'm not going to go in there and try to rob that guy. You kidding me? I'm going to go in there and try to rob him for $50. Always got an AK-47. I better run, man, because, I mean, there ain't enough money in a convenience store that's worth my life. You know, if they got like 1,000-ounce bars of gold and I might be able to walk out with like 75 of them, sure. I might go in there and try to risk my life, but for $200 in the register if I'm lucky. Because I'm not going to be able to get into that time-delayed safe. Like I said on Tuesday, there's over like 2 trillion rounds of ammunition and there's like 200 million guns in this country. If we're the problem, you'd know it. Oh, but we need to rein in these gun people. Only gun laws are going to affect law-abiding criminals. I love that one, law-abiding criminals, really? That's just funny. Alter, man, that's something that MSNBC would say. Law-abiding criminals. A criminal's not going to abide by any law you pass. It's only going to make it harder for the legitimate person to get a gun. That's all it's going to do. But I support, I'm proud that I infringe on your Second Amendment rights. I want to make it harder for you to get a gun, but I want to make sure that there are 75 people surrounding me with guns. Yes, sir. I need to have like 20 Secret Service, 10 snipers, you know, all that stuff. I need to have a Humvee behind me with a 50 cal. You know, I mean, guns don't save lives or anything. It's not like it's going to help you if you have a gun, but I have to have tons of them around me to protect me, you know. That's the double standard we got, folks. They want to have something that they don't want you to have. I mean, do you really trust a government that doesn't trust a citizen with a gun? And mark my words, what did I say about healthcare? They're never going to pass a single-payer healthcare system in this country. The only way they're going to do it is through Obamacare. It's going to be designed to fail on purpose. So that now that single-payer healthcare system looks like the greatest thing since sliced bread, but we don't want it. Same thing. Oh, we're just going to pass this tiny little bill on guns just to make it, you know, just to have more background checks. And then they're going to take one thing. Well, that law wasn't strict enough. We need to add more regulations to that gun law. And then they're going to take another shooting. Well, it wasn't strict enough. And before you know it, you're not going to have any gun freedom. They're just going to take it away, your freedom, bit by bit by bit. Here's a can of Canada Dry ginger ale. It's free. What do you mean it's free? Well, if you drink it, you'll get strong. But if you get strong, then we're going to take away this and we're going to take away that. And they want to control you. They want to control you by saying, oh, well, what do we do, folks? They're never going to pass. Americans aren't going to go for a central bank. Well, gee, let's change the name to, I don't know, let's call it the Federal Reserve. And let's, what should we do now? We'll say it's their money and they can do what they want with it and this and that. That's what's wrong with this world. They're gonna try to pass some BS gun control measure that's not really a gun. It's just a law that really doesn't affect anything, and it's not meant to. Because they're waiting for something. They're waiting for anyone to kill somebody with a gun, and then they'll say, "Well, but this bill wasn't strict enough. We need to make it more strict." And before you know it, your freedoms are being stripped. This is not the country I grew up in. I truly believe what my mom thinks, that if Hillary Clinton gets elected president, there's going to be a civil war in this country. I truly believe that. And I don't want to believe this stuff. I don't want to. I'm not a conspiracy nut. I wish I could blow smoke up your butt and say everything's wonderful. Everything's great. You know, 90% of Americans can have one job and they can provide for their whole family and the wife can stay home and cook and clean the house if she wants to. If she wants to work and have some spending money on top of what he makes, she can do whatever she wants, but she doesn't have to work. Now you have to have two people working 10 jobs between them just to live paycheck to paycheck, or well, direct deposit to direct deposit. How is that success? Well, this country's having problems because we just haven't spent enough money. We need to have a couple more $1 trillion in stimulus bills. That's what it is. Spend. We're going to spend our way out of debt. I want to call up my credit card company and say, yeah, I think I need to. I want to spend my way out of debt. If I go over my credit card max, will that somehow lower my balance somehow? Because that's what the government seems to think, that, oh, we can spend our way out of debt. Don't worry, just spend money. It'll solve everything. Hyperinflation's coming, my friends, and it's not going to be pretty. I truly believe that, and I don't want it. It's sad. I really see. I mean, and this is going back to people that watch that were watching videos that are from. I was watching this video, and it's like an hour long, and it's these people that are from Germany that were there before Hitler took over, and everything they saw in him, they're seeing now in Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama and all this. Look at it. Barack Obama said, you know, Hillary Clinton will say whatever she needs to get elected. You know, that's Hillary Clinton for you. Now, he's kissing her ass. He's promoting her. He's on tour with her.
And it's disgusting.
And it is. If he said she would say anything to get elected back then, why isn't he saying it now?
Exactly.
Why hasn't he got a backbone? That's the one thing I supported about him the whole 8 years. That's the only thing I ever supported about Barack Obama, was he said that Hillary Clinton will say anything to get elected. And it's proof when you have these things where they said, like, well, who is a Goldwater girl? Who is a Goldwater person? Who supported Goldwater, Barry Goldwater, and did not want segregation to end and wanted to have segregation? Who did this? Who supported this? Wow, sounds like stuff Trump would do because he's a racist. No, Hillary said all that. Hillary? Huh? And they didn't know what to do. Who supports this? Oh, that's something Hillary would say. No, all Trump supports all this, and he's, you know. It's ridiculous. But you got to wake up, folks. Put your faith in the government. I put my faith in God. Like Ronald Reagan said on Johnny Carson, he goes, you know, the problem is people are running to the government and they're the problem. Now, the Clinton email has supposedly been getting hacked, and there's supposedly more emails supposedly coming out from WikiLeaks and all this stuff and bombshell information. And I've heard from different sources that have confirmed that he has nothing to, he just has delayed releasing the information. I don't know. I've heard people say that they want it so that the Dems have no chance to try to get someone really fast, and who knows? I don't know if it's even going to make a difference, because the stuff out there, the information out there on Hillary is such that how can you still support her after all that we know about her? But supposedly the Clinton Foundation server has been hacked, and they got all this information about private donors and all this stuff, you know, where Carlin Maloney and Barney Frank and Chris Van Hollen and DCCC donated tons and tons of money to TARP funds. I mean, to line their pocketbooks, to help them out and all this stuff, all these donations from all these people. And of course, the Clinton campaign is turning into Project Blue Book, you know. Oh, that ain't ours. We don't know. I don't know where they got this, but that's not from our server. That's not this. You know, whether it is or not, it's more the same. If it's not them, unfortunately, there's too much going on. That's how I look at it. Sorry, folks, but even if it's not the Clintons, they have too many things going on that just make you want to. I mean, like she's selling herself. She sold her soul to the devil. All she's into it is for the money. I want to see all the money the Clinton Foundation sent to help victims of Louisiana. Zero. I mean, you'd think you'd want to do that with the foundation and brag about it and say, hey, look what I did. Wow, Trump went down and shook hands. I gave like $20 million. Nope. Trump went down there and helped out and did stuff, and so did Mike Pence. And guess what? All the other people, what'd they do? Oh, yeah, like 20 days later, I think Obama came down as like an afterthought. Oh, yeah, oh, okay. How you doing? Like, what the hell? I don't get this world, you know. But then I put my faith in a higher power. I don't rely on the government for my help. I rely on Jesus Christ. I read this on this is on K-Love, but also I heard about some other things, but supposedly there was a huge breach in like 500 million or millions of like emails and stuff were hacked via Yahoo. And Yahoo has also been accused now of building spying software so that they could search millions of their users' accounts for like NSA and FBI and words like that to try to, you know, anything that would look suspicious so that they can go through emails. And it's just more of the same. It's more of them trying to, okay, we're gonna read your emails. We're gonna do this. Oh, they're not gonna tell you that they're, oh, if it doesn't have a code word, we're not gonna investigate it. We're not gonna look into it. I guess if I put it on an email, I don't care if anyone reads it. That's how I've gotten to the point where if you want to read an email I wrote, go right ahead. I usually don't email. I mean, if I'm going to text somebody something, if you want to see what I texted, I'd show anybody. I don't, you know, it's just one of those things where, you know, are they spying on us? I guarantee you they are. To some extent. But yeah, I think they are. And I live in a free country, or I'm, it's supposed to be free, but like I keep telling you, they keep taking your freedom bit by bit by bit, and people, and they're hoping that you're the type that doesn't realize it, doesn't know it, and doesn't have a clue. I'm going to get into this really quickly because this is kind of an interesting story. There's a man by the name of Danny Williams, D-A-N-N-E-Y Williams, who says that he doesn't want any money or anything. He just wants to meet his father, who he says is Bill Clinton. And when you look at the photos, it is scary how close they look, how much they look alike. It's scary how they look like twins, except for one's white, one's black, because he had an affair with a black lady. And he actually did a tweet, and he goes, "My name is Danny Williams, and I'm the son of the 42nd president of the United States, Bill Clinton. All I want to do is shake my father's hand. I have requested the DNA test. Please help me by linking this video and sharing my message." And he's trying to get DNA to prove it, but whether he'll allow that or not, who knows? But when you look at photos of him and his dad, Bill Clinton, it is scary how, I mean, there's nothing in my, I mean, that is so, I know some liberals going to be like, "Oh, that's not his dad." Well, then, okay, then do a DNA test. Prove him wrong. Why not? I mean, what does he got to lose? He just wants to know his father. He's not wanting any of their millions. He just wants to know his dad, who I believe it is, Bill Clinton. Don't worry about that. My wife's like, "Hillary won't let that happen." Oh, yeah. But that, I mean, that's wrong. I mean, she should. I mean, he should get to know his dad, if that really is his dad, which I think it is. You know, he should get to know his dad. I mean, I'm trying to get to know my dad, and I'm 41. Because my dad worked for an international division of a company, and he spent a lot of my childhood overseas, working in Iran, Iraq, Turkey, Sudan, Italy, Egypt, all that stuff. I remember going to the Purdue airport to pick up my dad and didn't even recognize him. I ran from him when I was a little kid, you know. But he loves me, and I've shook his hand. I know it. I love him. You know, but this kid, if his dad is truly Bill Clinton, I wonder if they're ever going to, hey, you shut up, I'm your dad, here we go, let's meet, let's do whatever, let's do it in secret. That's the only way I think they would, you know, because then it would prove our point that there's tons of videos recently where Bill didn't know the cameras were rolling, and he's all over a lady. I mean, we know he's a womanizer, so what? I mean, it's not like it's hidden. It's not like, okay, folks, you may not know this, but Bill gets around. And I mean around. You know, it's not like someone's going to go, Bill's been with someone other than Hillary Clinton. No. They'll be like, well, that's old news.
Yeah, tell me something I don't know.
He's got a black book so big, man, he has to have a separate card just to carry the thing.
You know, it's not like it's old, but I mean, I really hope that if he, which I believe that's father and son, that he gets a chance to know who his biological dad is.
If Hillary alive and Chelsea alive, that ain't gonna happen. It's just not.
I don't think it will either, but that's how it goes.
That's how the cookie crumbles, you know. Because we know who has the private parts in that family. She does.
Moving on. I want to get into this story because this is something that really got to me.
This comes out of, where was this? This comes out of Pleasant Hills, Pennsylvania. Kathy Lane tried to, her hubby, Robert Gogo Jr., basically was an officer who died about a month ago. And she simply wanted to go to Party City and get some blue and black balloons for a memorial service for her friend, Robert Gogo Jr., a police officer. I called him hubby, but he was like, they're really, really, really close. And when she went to the Pheasant Hills Party City store in Pennsylvania, because they were having like a memorial type service type thing, and they were going to have like a fundraiser celebration for his life and all this, the clerk at the counter said that she would not fill the order because she does not support the police officers and refused to do it. And how can you not support police officers? It doesn't matter. Jennifer Martineau, Gogo's sister, who was interviewed by WPXI. Not all officers are bad. You don't know my brother. You don't know what kind of man he was. You don't know nothing but this. And it just really hurts. You know, it shouldn't have been. It should have been like, here you go. Nope. Anything you need from the store, thank you. You know, these officers put their life on the line for us every day. They go in the worst parts of the neighborhoods. They do the worst.
they see the worst of the worst. And this is how they get treated. We've contacted Party City, and a lot of people have. And I guess basically it's under investigation still, and there really is no comment. And we're hoping that disciplinary action is going to be taken. How can you have an employee that is like that? Pardon me. Excuse me. I don't know how you can have. That's just wrong. I mean, I'd be like, okay, anything you need, I would have, as an employee, I'd have said, here, I'll pay for it. Thank you. But that is just, I mean, that's why I stand by my law enforcement officers. You know, what they do. That's why I dedicated this show to Robert Gogo Jr. and all those police officers out there that put their life on the line so that I can have freedom. That's why I can see one carry. Because I want to have, if someone comes into my house, okay, 911, there's a guy in my house. Well, you know, I can at least try to do something. I remember one time me and my wife were upstairs and we hear a whack. And I'm like, what the heck? So I take my gun out and I go downstairs and one of my hockey sticks fell over. And I'm like, I'm like, what if that's the time that I have to actually use that gun on something other than a target downrange? I don't know what I would do if I was ever confronted with having to make the choice between my life or someone else's. That's why I give kudos to those officers. And when a lady at a Party City refuses to do something for them, I don't get it. I don't know where these people's minds are. Because I don't support the socialist government trying to control every part of my life. Government USA that they're trying to shove down my throat. But I'm not going to disrespect my nation. Well, I'm going to disrespect police because I don't like Secret Service because, you know, Hillary Clinton wants to have guns on them but not on me. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to, just because I don't like the way this country is going doesn't mean, well, me and my wife, we're going to move to Utah. No, we're going to move to Colorado. No, we're going to move to Calgary, Alberta, Canada, if Hillary Clinton wins the election, because we want to, really?
No woman to Benghazi, she won't bother us there.
Yeah, we're going to move to Benghazi, that way she don't bother us there. Yep. And, but I'm not, no, because there I'd have to have a relationship with goats and sheep, and I ain't doing that. Nuh-uh. Sorry. But anywho, I mean, I'm not going to leave. I'm going to fight for my freedom, fight for my country, fight for what's right. And not the right to party. But, you know, we got to stand up. Look at what Martin Luther King did. And he wasn't a politician. All these people have done. You know? You didn't see people burning buses back then? No, they just refused to get it from their seat. You got these idiotic yahoos. Oh, let's burn buildings down. That's gonna solve the problem. Members of an East Carolina University marching pirates were seen kneeling, and even some of them not even playing the Star Spangled Banner before a weekend matchup against the University of Southern Florida. Meanwhile, other members of the band basically didn't play at all or do anything. The college and what it's doing about it is amazing, because basically they gave them the, okay, this is your one strike. You get a strike, okay? Yeah, you did it. Ha ha. Okay, you made your point. You're not doing it again. And several people have reached out to try to find out, and we're not really sure. We're more than likely they will at least get kicked out of the band. Minimum. Some people have speculated that they believe that they'd be barred from school. So, I mean, I don't get where people have this belief that, okay, yeah, you're not, I understand protesting. I understand not to, you know, being a, okay, you claim that you're being brought down by the man, you know, you're, or whatever you want to call it. I understand that, but okay, stomping on the American flag is not the way to do it. Disrespecting your nation is not the way to do it. Martin Luther King would have walked down with an American flag saying, this is about freedom. I'm not going to, Martin Luther King would have never done what's going on now in a protest. He was better than that. He rose above. Protest all you want, but do it the right way. But the people these days don't know what the right way is of anything. That's the problem. They don't know their history. They don't know anything. No, man. It's North Korea that we won our independence from. Dummy, it's China. They're bigger. I mean, when you have these kids interviewed and they don't know, that's what's wrong with this world. These kids don't know anything. That's why they're, oh, let's burn down a car or a building. I've never understood. If anyone can explain this to me, burning a car. Oh, the Lakers won the NBA championship, so let's flip over cars. How is that? I've never understood how that's celebrated. I would love to find out who's doing that and flip over their car and burn it on fire. Oh, I was just celebrating their victory, man. Oh, that's your car? Oh, I'm sorry, man. But they won. Who cares, man? I set it ablaze. Hope you got insurance. I've never understood that, where people like flip cars over and burn buildings and all this stuff when they win the championship or whatever. How does that solve anything? How does it solve anything? If that's what people are doing now, okay, we're gonna step on the American flag because we feel like we're being discriminated against. What would Martin Luther King do? He'd pick up that flag, dust it off, and go, okay, you're gonna help me protest against the discrimination, but you ain't gonna disrespect this nation or this flag. That's what he would do. I'm not gonna disrespect this nation, even though I don't agree with the way it's going. I don't like this. Well, actually, sir, every Second Amendment right or any constitutional right is subject to reasonable regulations. So what you're telling me is, we have a constitution, but the government can tell you and put their own opinion in. You have that. You have freedom of speech, but to a point, you know, we can tell you what you can and cannot say. Well, then how is that freedom of speech if they're controlling what you say? How is it a right to bear arms if they're going to tell you how you can bear arms, if you can bear arms, where you can bear arms? How is that? That sounds like freedom to me. Pretty soon they're going to tell you when you can practice religion, where you can speech, when you can do. I mean, seriously, folks. That's where we're headed. That's why I do what I do. There's a video that's gone viral that made me laugh my butt off. There's a guy with a BBC America microphone, and he's going around saying, folks, listen up. This is breaking news. Hillary Clinton has just dropped out of the presidential race. And there's clips of him saying that she has the Zika virus and all this. And it is hilarious. And the people are freaking out. It's funny. Oh my God. This America is screwed. Beep, beep, beep. It's hilarious. Because everyone's freaking out and flipping out. Like, what do we do? I don't know. It's hilarious. I'm laughing my butt off. What are we going to... Oh, We're doomed. Oh, my God. Hillary Clinton dropped out of the election. What do we do? I don't know.
I would have been so happy.
Oh, I know. I'd have been like, hey, all right. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Yahoo. Celebrate good times. Come on. I'd have been like, yes, sir. Sign me up. I'd have been like on cloud nine, like, yeah. I mean, like, people are like, oh, I might as well just have my life and I don't know what to do now. Yeah, you'll have freedom. Yes. It was great. It got down to the cockles of my heart. Oh, yes. But that would never happen, though. Hillary Clinton, no. I mean, you could dump lava on her and she'd still survive. You could put her in a room with 2 tons of crack. She'd come out like an hour later. All right, the coughing's gone. Let's get this thing on. Oh, crap. She's going to be president now. Lord help us. Hey. Wow. How fun. Any of you, most of my listeners, probably most of the part don't do this, but if there was reports going around that Monday Night Football is not as fun as it used to be. It used to be the big night. Are you ready for some football? A Monday Night Party. We got Frank and Al and Dan. We're going to get it kick-started. Yeah, the Monday Night Football with Frank Gifford, Al Michaels, and Dan Dierdorf. That's old. But it's down supposedly by half of its viewers. They've lost over half of the viewership from 2 reports I've seen. Because people are done. Okay.
Not allowed in this house anymore.
No way. I don't. I used to be a fan of the NFL. No way. I will find another way to watch the commercials. But yeah, the problem is you have Roger Goodell, the NFL owner, supports them, what they're doing. He's like, way to go, boys. Way to go. He should say, listen here, son, that American flag stands for freedom. If you disagree with it, then you need to protest in another way, but you don't respect the country you live in. You can get your butt and get your bleep of the bleep, bleep, the bleep out of here. It's like these people that I'm going to be offended because you got an American flag shirt on. But then what are you living here for? Why are you in my country? I'm not going to go to France and complain about their flag. Well, you guys need to change. I'm offended by your flag.
You know what they're saying?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Fish sticks guy, you know, Kanye West, the guy who loves fish sticks. He's a gay fish. he's in hot water now, because supposedly they're wanting him in question for insurance fraud, because supposedly they believe that the hotel that Kim Kardashian was in was all secure and all this stuff, and no one knew except for him and like one other, like him basically, and like one other person where she would be. So, and why would she have this much jewels on her and all this? And considering like 2 months ago he said he was broke as a joke, they believe that he might have been using this as an insurance scam to try to get money and all this. And the French authorities are demanding him. And we do have extradition laws to France. So if I did something in France, I could get extradited to France. And they will investigate it. And if he's guilty, he's guilty. If he's not, he'll be released. If he's not guilty, he'll be released. They have a very fair justice system in France. But yes, just to see. I mean, but then it goes to show you. Kanye West is one of those people that goes to show you there's two types of people in this world. Because so many people, Trump was born into money. Well, look at how much Kanye West had. Trump could lose it all. Trump couldn't beat Trump. Okay, give someone $10 million. There are people that are going to turn that into $100 million, and there's people that are going to be in 3 years. I'm bankrupt. Hello? I need help. And that's Kanye West. That's why I like the NBA a lot, too. Because it's fun to see those people that made like millions of dollars. Now they're trying to sell their 800 pairs of shoes. Because they got no money. Yes. At least with me, I could take some of my things that I had and I could go out in the street and play and put a bucket for money and I could probably get some money. Yepper. Now on some amazing notes, because I want to get into this. This is going to coincide with what I'm doing next. This is making me, I'm going to be on cloud nine here in a little bit. The earliest recordings of Jerry Garcia to be released for the first time. Some of his very, very early recordings, like Before the Dead. Way back. They don't know when it's going to be released, but it was a October 6th article. So it's going to be interesting to see that. And this is totally off the subject, but not off the subject. But I remember I keep forgetting to look this up, but someone told me that I guess before Jimi Hendrix died, he recorded a bunch of music and like a year or two ago or 3 years ago or whatever, they released some of this music that he had recorded a long time ago. And I keep meaning to look that up and see if it's out or whatever. But this is going to be neat to kind of see and hear some of his early work. Because I'm sure I'm wondering if it's going back to his like bluegrass days. Because that'd be awesome. When he did that Grateful Dog with David Grisman, oh, that was just incredible. Because I love that kind of music. I'm a music fan, so I like all kinds of music. But it's just kind of fun to hear some of his older work and stuff, you know. But going into this Tuesday night, why I did my show on Monday was I took my wife to see her second Dark Star Orchestra show. That was really cool to have her see her second show. It's like my 20th, but I'm hopefully someday we'll see a Dark Star Orchestra show of a Grateful Dead show I saw. That'd be kind of cool. But they did because I'm sitting there, I'm like, I just have a feeling it's going to be an early 80s show, like 80, from 80 to 84. And we'll see. And all my stuff said 7 to 10. So we get there at like 6 o'clock, like 6:15, you know. And like, yeah, we're here for a roll call. We just want our tickets. And the doors open at 7 and it starts at 8. I'm like, well, my stuff says 7 to 10. So what do we do? So we go, let's go walk around because it was a beautiful night out. And we're walking by Bistro 501 in Lafayette. It's a great place. If you're ever in Lafayette, check out Bistro 501. Good food. And I'm like, look. And there's Skip and two of the members of Dark Star. And I waved to them and they waved back. And we're walking down. I'm like, too bad we had already had dinner. I'd go in there and, but I respect them enough, you know. So I'm like, they're eating dinner. Well, it's like, go in there and say hi to them. I'm like, dude, they're having dinner. So we went down and walked back and found this place called the, like the.
Cellar 442.
Some wine cellar place. It's nice. The only thing I tried that my wife found out later is when you drink wine or anything like that, you want to make sure you have water like sometime before you go to bed because she woke up with a really bad headache. And that's normally what happens when you have wine because it really dries. You know, so you always want to hydrate before. Yeah. But, I mean, like any liquor, if I drink, I always try to drink something, even if it's a soda, just to try to get fluids in me to hydrate. You know, so I get headaches too. But I got a port and she got a Riesling because she likes sweet stuff. And it's not bad. You know, it sounds like a place I like to check out when I could eat wheat and I could try all the breads and stuff. But man, I'd still check it out again. I'd still go back because a girl there I used to work with. And so she's like, have a great show. And we left there and went to the show. And it was incredible. It was, and to end this little bit, it was a 3/20/1981 show from the Rainbow Room in London that they played. And it was, yeah, it was great. It was a good time, except for a couple people next to us. You know, it's like, that's the only thing I don't like about some things about live shows is sometimes you can be near some great people and other times, Lord help you. But that's the give and take of the show. But it was a good time, you know, finally having them in my hometown. And I got earplugs. I went to Harbor Freight and I'm glad I did. Because ever since I went to Striper, those little small venues where they get bands. Oh, it's cool because you can see someone big there, but then they crank it up and then it's like, okay, without those earplugs. Oh, I'd have been like, screwed.
You would have had them in the back.
But it was good, though. It was a good time. They're always a great show. They just love what they do. You know, they have a passion for replicating dead shows and they do a great job and they love every minute of it. Yes, they do. And there's about 6 minutes left in the program, just under seven. And thank you all so much for tuning in. And what does Man United, as we move into European football, need to do to go somewhere and do something? I kind of feel that as we get into the Premier League right now. Okay, well, look at how great they did. We took out Rooney. Problem solved. Wrong.
My man Rooney.
Yep. And when they took him out, the next game, if they would have continued and dominated, then you could say, okay, maybe there's something to it. But when they took him out and they had several shots on goal against Stoke City, but you know, their goalie was just on top of it. I think if the goalie wasn't on top of it, you know, it could easily have been a 3-1 game. But, you know, taking him out, and that's why I think Jose Mourinho put him back in because, hey, it wasn't the dominant performance like he was probably expecting when Rooney was not there, like the game before. I just think it's too early in the season. I thought Chelsea would be better than they are. You know, see Tottenham where they are. It's just amazing, you know. It's just one of those things that I think teams are just going to have to learn how to work together because you got a bunch of new teams with a bunch of new players. I mean, Sergio Aguero is going to have to figure out where he fits in. You know? So Zlatan Ibrahimovic is going to have to see where he fits in and how he can play with Juan Mata and how he's going to be able to play with, you know, the other players of the team. Marcus Rashford, you know, how are they going to work together? How can, you know, I think come about February, you'll see where these teams, probably about January, you'll know where these teams are and how they've learned to work together. Just like when LeBron James and Steph went down to Florida, it took them a year, but then they got it all together and bang, bang, bang. And I think they just got to learn to work together. And I think it'll work. I think some things will work themselves out. I mean, just like Purdue's football team. Lord help you. You know? That coach is gone. I mean, he basically fired all his coaching staff and brought in all new people, and he still stinks. You know, it's not the defensive and offensive coordinators, it's him. You know? I mean, we got great players in Manchester. We got some of the best. If they can't learn to work together, you know, then you got to sit there. Okay, well, then Jose Mourinho needs to. Okay, let's put him here. You know, let's put him as a center half. Let's do this. Let's move him around the pitch and see. You know. And I was hoping they would be really successful the second game without Rooney, because then it would, okay, that can explain some things. But I didn't want that because I like Wayne Rooney. But just one of those things. Huh? No, I'm not. I'm just saying that it would explain something. You say, well, at least, okay, I mean, because now it's like, okay, you take them out and they don't play that great. Okay, now what do we do? Because now we got to go back to the drawing board again. I mean, I don't want him to. I don't want to. I mean, I don't know what I'd do if it was like 5-1. If they kept him out, but when they kept him out, it didn't really end up that way. So hey, it's just one of those things that I think a lot of the teams have so many new players that they got to learn to work together. Yeah, you spend a lot of money, you got a lot of great players, but they got to learn to work together. They got to learn to play with each other. They're not used to playing with each other. Yeah, Zlatan Ibrahimovic is a great player, and so is Marcus Rashford, and so is Juan Mata, but they have to learn to play together. I got just over 2 minutes left in the program, folks. And as always, I want to thank you all for tuning in and listening to the conversation, no matter where you are, whether you're East Coast, West Coast, it don't matter. I really want to give a shout out to all those men and women in the law enforcement that put their lives on the line every day. And Robert Gogo Jr., especially, you know, you deserve better than what happened. I don't understand where these people, why don't you part my law enforcement? It reminds me of that story where I remember Public Enemy did this song, 911's a joke, because supposedly they said that, oh, when it was Black Lives on the line, they just took their time to get there or whatever, and then you find out later that he actually needed 911, and were they going to really rush to his aid? You know? Remember, the toes you step on today might get a kiss tomorrow. Just think about that. You never know when someone might be in need, or you might be in need. And if you help someone now, someone might help you later.
You reap what you sow.
Yep. You reap what you sow. And that's kind of how I was brought up. You reap what you sow, folks. You do good, good will come to you. That's pretty much it, folks. And with a firm reliance on the mutually pleasure each other, our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honors. Until next Tuesday, good night, and God bless. Goodbye.